Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 16. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, brothers?
None too much.
How like you that? Doing? I got the you're brothers like in.
Brothers, yeah.
Brothers.
We don't get confused.
Look, brothers. Let me tell you something.
I love it. I do.
So what do you think? Middle age 16.
16. Man. Did you ever think we'd get here?
I mean. Like here to Nate's house?
Here
at like
Nate's house. Yeah. Driving. I didn't think I'd make it, actually.
Yeah, I felt pretty good getting here. Yeah. I thought I'll make it.
GPS hasn't steered you guys wrong yet.
No, not yet.
But no, if you're asking about middle age 16. Mini 16? Yeah, no, I did not think wild. So. That's yeah.
Well, because it was, obviously we have our normal episodes that we do, but yeah, this whole new mini topic stuff is like, hey, let's start this, and yeah, we're at 16 now. That's pretty wild.
Plugging away.
Yeah. It is wild, and it's the fact that these have done so well, we still need to reconsider and or continue to consider those death matches. Remember the creepy death matches? We got to start off on one.
we'll do TikTok videos for that.
There you go.
See? I'll be spending hours on
claymation.
What else do we have to do, right? It's not like we have jobs.
Yeah, it's not like I'm busy at all during the evening.
It's good stuff.
Mini number 16. Sean, you want to tell the listeners what we're going to talk about?
We are going to talk about something that is super duper creepy and real. This is, the other stuff we talk about are like, well, is it? What is it? We're not sure. We don't know if it exists. This exists. It's a physical thing. It's still unexplained, and we're going to talk about some of that. You can touch it.
Can you lick it?
You can, if you want to, but they do have surveillance cameras on it, so I don't think they're going to let you get by with it too much. They are going to arrest you. It is the Georgia Guidestones, and I'm sure a lot of people out there don't know about them. I'm sure there are a few that do, but it is something that is not real well known to very many people. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard about it was on History 2 or History Channel show called America Unearthed, and there was an episode about it. And I was like, what in the world are they talking about? It's like America's Stonehenge is kind of what it's called. The Georgia Guidestones are a granite monument erected in 1980. So it's been around for a minute in Elbert County, Georgia. It's really it's just outside of Atlanta, actually. In the United States, a set of 10 guidelines is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages. And a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient language scripts. Whoa. And so we got your attention yet, Nate? Because Nate hadn't heard about this, so we're going to be educating Nate.
Yeah, I had never heard of him mentioned it.
Yeah, I'm
a couple
pulling
months
pictures
ago.
Up so I know what we're talking about.
Because you said when we were given, I was like, okay, some ideas. We need ideas for minis and full episodes. And you said Georgia Guidestones. I'm like, what in the heck?
This has been on the back burner for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, we got to get to this because this is really good. There's conspiracy here. There's all kind of like secret society type stuff. Real good stuff to talk about.
Yeah. It says 90 miles east of Atlanta and 45 miles from Athens, mm-hmm. which, University of Georgia. I'm a Georgia football fan. So that's,
I'm not really looking at a real big picture of them, but I mean, it's sort of looks relatively modern.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They really are.
So I'd be 41 years old. Yeah, it was 1980, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1980, yeah. 40.
But still, yeah, 40. It looks like something they just made yesterday.
Yeah.
19 feet, 3 inches high.
Yep. Stat guy, right?
So almost 2 basketball goals.
Weighing 237,746 pounds. So that's 107,840 kilograms. That's a lot.
That's heavy.
Yeah, and I believe it was, we'll probably go over the stats of what it cost.
Almost as heavy as the old TVs we were talking about.
Back in 1980, it was like $500,000 to money that they put. I would think it would be more than that. Like nowadays, I'm sure it'd be a few million, but like mm-hmm. To get it erected.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So it says one slab stands in the center with 4 arranged around it. A capstone lies on the top of the 5 slabs, which are astronomically aligned. An additional stone tablet, which is set in the ground of a short distance to the west of the structure, provides some of the notes on the history and the purpose of the Guidestones, which is still a bit shrouded in mystery, in my opinion. The structure is sometimes referred to as an American Stonehenge. And then it goes through what we just talked about, how big it is. The anonymity of the Guidestones author and their apparent advocacy of population control, eugenics. These are all key words here. They're spooky. And internationalism has made them an object of controversy and conspiracy theories. I don't know why that
controversy.
Controversy. I don't know why that needed a little accent, but it did. So it says, in June 1979, a man using the pseudonym R.C. Christian, and there's a, we're going to talk about that. That is obviously an alias or a pseudonym, approached the Elberton Granite Finishing Company on behalf of a quote-unquote small group of loyal Americans and commissioned the structure. Christian explained that the stones would function as a compass, calendar, and clock and should be capable of withstanding catastrophic events. So Joe Finley of Elberton Granite assumed that Christian was a nut and attempted to discourage him by providing a quote for the commission, which was several times higher than any project the company had previously taken, explaining that the guidestones would require additional tools and consultants. To Finley's surprise, Christian accepted the quote. When arranging payment, Christian said that he represented a group which he had planned had been planning the guidestones for 20 years and which wanted to remain anonymous. Hmm. And the funny thing is this guy, this Joe Finley that he worked with, promised to keep all of this, the secret identity of this guy and this group, as much as he knew. And he did take it to his grave. So he did not know. He never did reveal what this was all about and who this was. He kept their anonymity like they asked, they requested him to.
Man. Well, I see a lot of mention about satanic origin. They said that R.C. Christian could possibly have been, he belonged to a Luciferian secret society. And that when I hear that stuff,
yeah,
I'm like, I don't like that.
I was looking at the R.C. Christian as a really cool Christian.
Really cool. Yes, really cool.
I like that. It would work, except I don't think that's what he was.
Yeah. I wanted to. Yeah.
Sure.
So it's people allege that this is possible. Now, there's none of this has been proven, but it does talk about this is possible. Have you guys ever heard of the term Rosicrucianism? Rosicrucianism? It is a secret society. It kind of bases itself off of, I'll read it to give it a little bit more solid foundation. Rosicrucianism is a spiritual and cultural movement that arose in Europe in the early 17th century after the publication of several texts that purported to announce the existence of a hitherto unknown esoteric order to the world and made seeking its knowledge attractive to many. The mysterious doctrine of the order is to build on esoteric truths of the ancient past, which concealed from the average man, provide insight into nature, the physical universe, and the spiritual realm. The manifestos do not elaborate extensively on the matter, but clearly combine references to Kabbalah, Hermeticism, alchemy, and Christian mysticism. So they're thinking the RC was Rosicrucian, and then Christian is adding on to the ideals of the Rosicrucians, as I understand it, because I've looked into them a little bit, and there's actually some famous people that were supposedly Rosicrucians. Ben Franklin's one of them that I've always heard. Many of them were Masons and things like that too. So they belong to different societies, but the Rosicrucians, as I understand it, and if you're a Rosicrucian out there, they say if somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I'm a Rosicrucian," they're not really a Rosicrucian because you don't come out and say it. This is not something that you would propose to the world. It is something that you keep to yourself.
Like a true secret society.
A true secret society, but they say that it is something, so they're supposed to be altruistic, and they're supposed to, a true one is actually looking, this, they were talking about people that were trying to say that this can't be based on somebody that's a Rosicrucian because it's against a lot of their principles that they would be behind. But it does look a little fishy, I'll have to admit, because they said the Rosicrucian wouldn't want things like depopulation and all that kind of stuff. So,
when you said that, who was it you said? I'm sorry.
Famous people.
Yeah. Who was
There's a long mentioned? List, so I won't read them all, but these are famous. This says famous Rosicrucians.
Can I
list.
Say one?
Yes, go ahead.
That I just saw, and I'm not surprised. Our buddy Aleister Crowley.
Aleister Crowley is one of them.
Yes. Of course he is.
George Washington, although he was a Freemason. So again,
he was.
This is kind of like, George, you know, when you talk about like Freemasonry, you can talk about there's a darker side that a lot of people don't. You know what I mean? And the same thing, I think, with the Rosicrucians. I think you can get like, I'm not saying these guys are
like
bad
different
people.
Levels or different sides.
Exactly.
To it.
So I'm not sure that just because George Washington might or might not have been a Rosicrucian, whether he was, you know, I'm not sure what his views were. They say Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, Walt Disney, Victor Hugo, Isaac Newton, Leonardo da Vinci, Thomas Paine. It goes on and on. Dante Alighieri, Pascal, Some of these people may have Napoleon. So that goes on. There's Rene Descartes. So a lot, John Brown. So there's a lot of people here. I mean, like I said, I could go on and
some
on.
Some big
on.
Names.
Francis Bacon. So there, this is why they, you know, that talk of New World Order and everything that comes into this. But like I said, I could go on and on. There's a long, long list of supposed.
And I don't know much about secret societies. Like I don't know all, but you just named all men, you know, is that kind of, that seems like that's kind of the,
a lot of them are
deal there. It's all men that come up with these different clubs and with societies.
Freemasons do have a, it's the Eastern Star. So it's the female version of Freemasonry. So, but historically speaking, yes, a lot of them, you know, were male driven.
Like, what's the one with the, like in, is it Yale or Harvard? The secret
Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones. That's a total.
That's men.
Watch the movie and it'll disturb you. But a lot of that is, at least I've heard. I've never been part of anything like that. But they say that that's fairly accurate. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of presidents were into that. A lot of government.
The Bushes. Rituals.
Yeah.
Bushes. It's a true story. I mean, and that's they don't deny it actually. But so
I think women. Like secret societies, they just don't really care about doing stuff like that.
They're not idiots like that.
So they're like, whatever.
There are
go have fun.
A little more mature.
Go have fun.
Go along with your skull and bones.
Exactly.
They're like, idiots.
We're going to end up in this. At the end of this discussion, we'd be like, women, just please rule this world. It would be a better place.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like,
for real.
It's possible.
What are you boys doing now?
we're going to become a politician.
And what's your point? I don't know. We just wear robes.
Well, no. The interesting thing, I've heard of this. This has been considered mankind's tombstone, which is really, that's kind of, it gets your attention because that's scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is in 8 different languages. And the idea is that if there, this is supposed to be the 10 commandments for the post-apocalyptic era. So if the apocalypse happens and whatever humankind is left, they want to make sure that they can hit the major languages, obviously. And they're thinking, supposedly, there are rumors that this is one of the oldest, if not the oldest place on the planet. And how you'd ever figure out something like that, I have no idea. You'd have to be a Rosicrucian. No, I'm just kidding. You'd have to be part of some kind of inner secret knowledge that I read that along there. I was like, how would you know this?
Or you pull a map out and drop your finger.
Exactly right.
Right there.
Georgia sounds good. They got some good peaches, right? So I don't know.
A lot of logic
know.
On that one.
But they say there was thought thought put into this why they did what they did and where they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's true.
Because I will say, because I didn't know about this, and you said Georgia Guidestones. I'm literally thinking the country of Georgia. I'm not thinking.
You were not thinking
Georgia,
of America?
Because
States,
it sounds like something would be out, you know. And I'm like, really? It is here?
It's interesting, but there's the idea behind the Rosicrucians is it's a new it's a group of furtherment of the new age of enlightenment. So that does line up with a lot of what these guidestones are trying. That's why it's hard for me to say, it can't be the Rosicrucians, but it could be. No. And the Rosicrucians aren't. There are so many secret societies out there, and I don't pretend to understand them, but I've heard a lot about a lot of different ones, and good, bad, or indifferent, they're out there. They have been out there anyway.
And they've been around a long time.
Now, as far as the placement and orientation of it, I mean, obviously it said that it's placed at, like, the oldest spot on Earth or whatever.
Theoretically,
yeah. Does it have anything to do with other anomaly monuments around the world? Because I know, like, Stonehenge, the pyramids in Egypt, mm-hmm. like, everything is
ley lines.
Yeah, they're aligned, and they're, like,
precisely
in line with each other as far as longitudes and latitudes, and, like, you know, saying back in the day when all that stuff was erected, they're like, they didn't have any instruments or mm-hmm. know-how to actually do this. So how is all this all in perfect align with each other?
I'm not entirely sure about that. That's a great question because you're right. And ley lines are interesting because there is with the planet, there is an electromagnetic force. Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's scientific. That's not unheard of. But there are energy centers, they say, that they find. And it does line up with major cities and ley lines.
Yeah.
Whether that was on purpose or not, or our ancestors knew that. And when it's kind of hard to think, nah, they wouldn't have known that. Just it was by chance. But a lot of these, you know, the pyramids and all, and not just the Egyptian pyramids, but pyramids around
the Earth, Mayan and Stonehenge,
and a lot of these, they're it's pretty high level. So it's hard to say. But I don't know if they tried to mirror that or not. I honestly don't know what the ley lines are around there. But it's very possible, and I'm sure
I didn't know if it said it in reference to its location, if it was ever said in the literature.
I didn't see that, but it's very possible. So if anybody knows out there, let us know, because I'm like I said, this is
a great question.
This is kind of a living discussion, because I'm going on and finding stuff about it as I go. This is, but it does have 10 commandments on it. So the instructions are, and a lot of these are fairly docile. I mean, these aren't like, oh my gosh, this is a huge threat until you get to a few of them here. So the first one is maintain humanity under 500,000.
Million.
This is million, right?
Million, yeah.
Oh.
I would think they'd say million.
I thought it was 500,000. Oh, that's weird. I always thought it was 500,000. But anyway.
That's really
There's
low.
Eight zeros behind that.
Man, guy. There is there. But I was, yeah, I don't know why. Okay, yeah, that's weird. In perpetual balance with nature. Well, we're only at, what, 7 or 8 billion, right now.
Yeah.
So 500 million, that's still a big decline. Oh, I just said 500,000, didn't I? 500 million, you're right. So the second one is guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. So the third is unite humanity with a living new language. So that's interesting. Number four, that sounds almost very biblical, right? Four is rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Number five is protect people and nations with their fair laws and just courts. Number six is let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. That's good luck on that one too. Eight is balance personal rights with social duties. Nine is prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And number 10, this is also a good one. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. I don't know why they have to say that twice, but it's very important to them, apparently.
Hmm.
So again, a lot of them are great, but they start with that whole, again, yeah, it's 500 million. I don't know why I had thousands stuck in. I did. I had it stuck in my head, but it's like, no, that's it. But yeah, 500 million. Again, that's still a big cut when we're in the billions right now.
That's like Thanos' finger snap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the Avengers. Well, it's more than that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
that's only we're half. Talking
universe.
Yeah.
The magazine Wired called it the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it on the surface, at least that as it's presented, this is supposed to be a good thing. Like, this is supposed to guide humanity. It sounds, but if you look very deep into it, again, we're talking about depopulation. I mean, that's it's a little scary, you know. I heard one time that there is the entire world could be put in, or not, yeah, the entire world's population of people, because they're like, oh, there's not enough room for us. But physically speaking, now you'd put them, you know, side by side and smush them all together, but they could fit in one of the larger counties in Florida. So, and I think, is that for number one, never tested that theory, but they say it's not that there's so many people, because we're really spread out, and there's a lot of mass here in the United States, but in the world. And so, it's not, I mean, we'd have to have a lot of people to truly be overpopulated.
Yeah.
But, and then they're saying that's more for the resources. But still, if we all pulled together, we still have plenty of resources for everybody.
Well, there's a lot of places on Earth where it's, it's hard living, like up in mountains and that kind of stuff.
It
just, you have a very dense population up in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not easy for a lot of people to live in that area.
Right.
Or like, you know, rainforest, and not everybody wants to go and be friends with the mosquitoes out in the swamp.
Well, that's fair. It is fair. And it's easy for me. I've always had pretty comfortable life. So it's not like I can say, oh, it's easy. No problem. We can feed everybody. So, but you do have to, you have to put work into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're just, but I do think that, you know, there is enough resources there to be able to provide for yourself and other people. But
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without getting into,
Yeah,
I know. Political. I'm saying
But like Sahara Desert, I mean, that's the, you know, not too many things live out there.
Well, Amy and I were going to move our family there because we thought it really would work out.
Location,
a lot of resources.
Right. Well, somebody said they had a real nice
land for cheap.
Oceanside.
But they, yeah. But they say that there are, but that is, that's a huge, and you know, it's scary because it's like, that's me, that's my grandchildren, that's my children. Mm-hmm. That's, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so who gets to determine who goes,
yeah.
You know, and does it take an apocalypse in order to bring it down to that? And would it be sustainable? But they have people out there like, and I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but you know, their speeches, and this isn't made up, but like Ted Turner was in an interview, and they say that Ted Turner may have been behind part of this and wanted to keep it, you know, but he talked about depopulation being an answer at one point. And they've got him in an interview saying that. Bill Gates is another one.
It's always the rich people. You notice
Bill
that?
Gates,
I mean, like rich.
Like, you guys determine who lives and stays. I'll, of course, be staying, but, you know.
Exactly.
Like, I know that now. So it's easy for them to say. But, again, and I'm not a hater on either one of those guys, but, yeah, it is the elite that.
That doesn't bother me how much. I'm whatever you want. I mean, as far as, I mean, whatever you earn or whatever you make, you can have $1 trillion in your. I'm never against that. I'm just against their thought process on, you can say, yeah.
It feels very dismissive to human life. Yes. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm trying to say.
Now, I'm sort of looking at these 10 guidelines and. I mean, a lot of them sound like, I mean, that'd be the perfect way to, you know, live life, you know, as a guideline.
Yeah,
but
more to
it. You put those guidelines into today's society, and a lot of those fall short by far.
Oh, yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sound very benign, but, you know,
simplistic,
positive.
But yet how you... You know, it's almost unobtainable. You know.
It creeps me out just to think about
it. That's why I think it's a very creepy subject to talk about. That's why that's definitely why we're covering it.
Did you see, Sean, you said it was 8 languages, and I saw from English to Swahili. Do you have a list of those? I didn't write those down, and I didn't.
Languages are English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and Russian.
Mm-hmm. That's covering it.
Yeah. You're getting all the corners of the earth there.
Yeah.
It said when it was unveiled, so on March 22nd, 1980, the monument was unveiled before an audience variously described as 100 or 400 people. Christian later transferred ownership of the land and the guidestones to the Elbert County. Mm-hmm. So it's been... You were talking about this, Todd, before we started. It has had a lot of, it's been defaced, and there's a lot of graffiti and things that we wouldn't put some of the stuff that people have been writing on there. But basically the idea is like, we know what you're up to kind of thing, and death to the New World Order.
Right.
You know, those are what people are saying. Like, we're not going to tolerate this kind of authoritarianism and coming in, New World Order kind of talk. And they've had to set up surveillance cameras, and the police, they say they watch over them carefully. So they are... public property, basically, or are owned by the county, so the police do watch them. So they're like, be careful, because you can go see some jail time for that.
Social media journalist Mark Dice, he said it should be busted into a million pieces and used as construction. He said, because he's like, it's not good.
Yeah,
just destroy them.
Well, and I'm looking at these on the opposite spectrum, and you can sort of see like Hitler guidelines,
right?
You
know? We all know about that guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're wanting to, you know, guide reproduction wisely and
control,
and you know, unite humanity with a living new language. Well, this is the only language you're going to speak,
right?
You
know? Exactly.
Yeah,
get on board or die.
It's authoritarianism
in different ways. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Speech or whatever. Yeah.
The explanatory tablet that it says so. Mm. A few feet to the west of the monument, an additional granite ledger has been set level with the ground. This tablet identifies the structure and the languages used on its list, various facts about the size, weight, and astronomical features of the stone, the date it was installed, and the sponsors of the project. It also refers to a time capsule buried under the tablet. I wanted to definitely make sure and point that out. But blank spaces on the stone intended for filling in the dates on which the capsule was buried and it is to be opened have not been inscribed. So it is uncertain if the time capsule was ever actually put in place. So is it? Some people say, oh, it's there. And other people say, is it? Because it was never really... consecrated or whatever.
Regardless of what the purpose is and what it's really saying and all that, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, you know?
Yeah,
but I was looking at pictures and they have like a gate or a fence around it. looks like, or some type
to protect
of,
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it's
I've never seen.
Can't
it.
Walk
I,
up to. I mean, somehow.
I think it would be awesome to go see him. Just, but it's creepy.
Yeah,
I mean, I, just out of interest, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But it says on there, it says, "Let these be guidestones to an age of reason."
Hmm. Looking on Google reviews, I always find these interesting. Like when we look at the when we talk about whatever topic. Says the owners are some of the nicest people you will ever meet. Says the place is open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Hmm. Smaller than it looks, but very cool location. And then someone said, yeah, they have video surveillance for vandals, a very small area for parking. I just find that little tidbit.
So people talk,
like, you know, smaller
that's a
than
stats,
it looks.
Baby.
Or, yeah, well, yeah, I know. Yeah. But
look bigger in pictures.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, yeah.
Now, as far, yeah, I mean, but they're tall. I mean, 19
yeah.
feet.
Yeah,
19
yeah,
feet.
19
that's
foot, yeah.
Two basketball goals, almost.
So it says, around the edges of the square are written translations to the four ancient languages. So on the top, you know, you talk about the eight languages. The four languages on top, one per edge, starting from the top, the proceeding clockwise, they are Babylonian, so that's very ancient,
yep.
in cuneiform
wow.
script, classical Greek, Sanskrit, again, very old, and ancient Egyptian in hieroglyphs.
Mm.
That's huh. crazy. So that's what's on the top.
Wow.
Oh, that's on the very top slab.
Does it say mm-hmm. What those are saying?
Let's see. Yeah.
Well, I found it says Pig Latin. I think it's one of them. But no, not Pig Latin.
Astronomical features channel through stone indicates celestial pole. Horizontal slot indicates annual time or annual travel of sun. And sunbeam through capstone marks noontime throughout the year. And then it says the author is R.C. Christian, which is a pseudonym, which we know that. And then the sponsors, like we said, is a small group of Americans who seek the age of reason. The time capsule supposedly is placed 6 feet below this the particular spot it talks about. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what it says on top, per se.
Hmm. I guess the astronomical features are there's a channel through the stone indicating the celestial pole. Horizontal slot indicates annual travel of sun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the sunbeam through the capstone marks noontime throughout the year.
That's what I just
said. Oh, did you just say
I
that?
Did. I did. But
oh,
that,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was such good information that we said it twice.
Yeah,
so
well,
you can never.
Yeah, I was reading stuff. I wouldn't pay attention to what you're saying.
You're fine.
Hey, we don't
I have never done that in all of these podcasts ever. No, I do that all the time, so that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, yeah, they thought it was just for sun worshippers.
And who knows?
So when you said, you know,
you get more
sun,
naturalistic, yeah. I mean, that's.
Sun worshippers, cult worship, and devil worship.
Hmm.
That's why I don't like these things.
I know. No, I know. The one interpretation of stones is that they describe the basic concept required to rebuild a devastated civilization. Author Brad Metzler, he also had a program.
Oh, yeah.
Notes that the stones were built in 1979 at the height of the Cold War and thus argues that they may have been an intended message to the possible survivors of a nuclear World War III. Mm. So that's very possible as well. The engraved suggestions to keep humanity's population below 500 million could have been made under the assumption that war had already reduced humanity below this number. So maybe that could have been on people's mind. So it was way back there, and that was a tumultuous time. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, they are. They're just creepy. And the fact that they exist, and most people don't even know about them, I think is just an even bigger creep factor.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a good choice. I'd never heard of them, and
damn.
Now I've learned.
Yeah.
And we got to go visit. This is another field trip.
So.
Just put this on our field trip.
How many things do we have that we will never visit?
Infinity.
We're up to like 30.
Infinity. Now, Turda, Romania. Is not, it's on a list, but it's an actual list that we're going. These are, that's someplace we're going to go.
We're going Bobby Mackey Sunday. So we
well, we are. So see, we're crossing something off.
Yeah. It would be neat to see.
We're going places.
And since I am a University of Georgia football fan, and it's not that, I want to say it, 45 miles from Athens, from the campus. Mm-hmm. I always told Elijah, yeah, he and I will go to a ball game sometime.
And then just
we might
over,
even just head on over there.
Yeah.
Why not?
The Georgia Guidestones.
Do it.
Go dogs, go Guidestones.
I thought, isn't that what you wanted to talk about originally? That's what we were, you thought we were.
That's right.
Number one ranked,
Guidestones.
Undefeated.
Oh,
I had to throw that in
I did not approve Guidestones.
It really talks about how great Georgia is in football. So, well, thanks, Sean. And you didn't mention it's your pick.
It is my pick.
That's
yes.
why mm-hmm. I have my wife pick.
The weirder the better, right? You know,
the most obscure. But
I like anything that brings a little conspiracy and a little bit of secret societies. You know, I'm going to go there just. For
and
fun.
It does have, which fun. I always am concerned about. It's got the creep factor.
It does. It got us to kind of step around. You know, like I get a little uncomfortable talking about some of these secret societies, but they're fun to look into because I don't completely. I admit to not really understanding. Well, depopulation scares you.
They're creepy.
You're talking
some
about.
Of their thoughts and ideals.
And they wear like Rams masks and robes. Yes. And I don't. Gets what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
I know
rituals are kind of weird, but
yeah.
So yeah, good talk, guys.
Good talk about the Georgia Guidestones. I like it. Nate, what do you think?
Oh, I think I need a guide to get us out of this one.
No kidding.
That's a wrap.
Well, you're it. You're the guy.
I'll lead us.
We're feeling discombobulated.
I'll lead us to noon.
Well, I enjoyed it. I know the creepies enjoyed it too. So we want to thank you guys for listening to Middle Age Mini number 16. And that's all I got.
See ya.
Later.